Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports, The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I am, of course, your host, Rick Wolf. Well, something occurred this past week at the local high school level, which I don't think I've ever seen before. A veteran high school coach was fired from his position as a head football and head basketball coach. And then just a few days later, that same coach was reinstated and rehired. Now, you heard me right. He was fired and then rehired within a matter of days. Let me give you the specifics. And again, as you'll hear the story and one story after it, this stuff is very curious. The fact that we have so little transparency when high school coaches, when their contracts are not renewed or they're fired, you know, it just seems sort of backwards and sort of almost, we just haven't made any progress in this area. Okay, the specifics. Longtime Eastchester High School football coach Fred DiCarlo, who also serves as the boys' head basketball coach, was dismissed from his positions right before the start of this year's basketball season. The reasons why? Well, of course, that is, in fact, the $64,000 question. The school board and the superintendent in Eastchester, they won't give a reason. And they say that's due to the privacy reasons when it comes to decisions involving school personnel. And that, of course, is a standard line that all school boards give all the time. But we do know this, that once the word got out that Coach DiCarlo had been fired, an online petition was launched. Within a matter of days, more than 4,000 Eastchester supporters of Coach DiCarlo had signed that petition. Now, I got to tell you, 4,000 signatures of support is pretty impressive. Now, although no one in the general public knows for sure, it seems that there were lots of, and that's what they are, there's just rumors that perhaps Coach DiCarlo apparently uses profanity with his players, which is, of course, a no-no. But in reading the letter that the Eastchester superintendent sent out to the community about this case, well, it's hard to say. It's not, again, the transparency. That's the key word here. Maybe the coach wasn't given any kind of official reprimand before being let go. Or he wasn't given a chance to perhaps change his ways. That is, after all of his years of coaching at the school, and he was there for a long time, shouldn't have Coach DiCarlo received some sort of warning to clean up the way he communicates with his players? And again, and just trying to read between the lines. And I assure you, this is all just speculation. I just have a sense that perhaps the superintendent, who was relatively new to the Eastchester School District, and the school board, well, maybe they jumped too quickly to fire the coach. And again, I say that because I just have a sort of a gut feeling that the coach was told perhaps he needed to clean up his act in order to get a second chance. Maybe that involves taking a course on proper communication skills, or there's something else. But once Coach DiCarlo finally agreed with whatever was asked of him, he was then rehired. And there was also some scuttlebutt, and again, this is just rumors and again, scuttlebutt, that perhaps a member of the Eastchester School Board perhaps had developed some sort of personal grudge against Coach DiCarlo, and as such, wanted to see him be let go. But here's the problem. This is all just rumor, speculation, scuttlebutt. Why? Because the school board won't give any reason. Okay. Now, We have discussed this issue several times in the past as to why school boards don't give more or provide more transparency when coaches are not rehired or they're fired. And look, we all know that in public schools, high school coaches are hired on a year-to-year basis. They do not enjoy the protection of tenure as a coach. But has the time come for school boards and administrators, superintendents, to change the policy about saying absolutely nothing about these decisions when it comes to the coaches? I mean, why is it such a big deal not to at least give some reason or some explanation as to why a coach was let go? I want to talk about this with you this morning because this comes up over and over and over again. And of course, when the news hits a community, particularly in the case of a coach DiCarlo, and you get instantly almost more than 4,000 people in the community to sign a petition saying we want him back, something doesn't connect here. 877-337-6666, that of course is our number. And by the way, just as Coach DiCarlo was being fired and rehired within a matter of days, I should point out, by the way, I don't know Fred DiCarlo. I don't have any connection to him. But just right up the road from Eastchester, in the town of Katona, the longtime wrestling coach Bill Swartfeger at John Jay High School, his contract was also not renewed by that town school board. By all accounts, Swartfeger is extremely popular, immensely popular, and a very loyal coach in John Jay. So why would he be let go after literally decades of service? Again, no reason given. And you look at the various media reports, Coach Swartfeger, well, he thinks that this all stems from his time last spring when he served as an assistant junior varsity softball coach at John Jay. He was helping out his daughter, Teresa, who was the head softball coach in the spring of 2021. During a game while coaching at first base, Swartfeger apparently congratulated a well-executed sacrifice bunt that was put down by a player. And as the girl came down to first base, Swartfeger high-fived her, then followed up with a pat on her back, on her backside, which, of course, is, you know, a common celebratory sports gesture. But, and again, this is all speculation, it's very possible that the girl took exception to that pat on her butt. Said Swartfeger this past week, I have now learned that I need to be more sensitive to a person's personal space, and that won't happen again. There were more than 100 parents, players, coaches, umpires at that game. Whatever I may have done was completely unintentional, and I was just acknowledging a job well done. I would never, ever want to make a person uncomfortable based upon my behavior. It troubles me deeply that I seem to have done so in this case. This is 180 degrees polar opposite of who I am and what I'm all about. My body of work with children over the last 40 years is without a blemish. Okay, so this is Swartfeger basically apologizing because what he thinks this is what it's all about in the fact that his contract wasn't renewed. Now, the superintendent of schools in John Jay in Katona, Andrew Selesnik, said he actually met with Swartfeger this past week in the hopes that they could resolve this situation. But the Selesnik, the super, said that Swartfeger did not meet the requirements for reinstatement and that the coach was basically misrepresenting what happened at that game. And Selesnik said, quote, if allowed to stand, that false information, apparently coming from Swartfeger, diminishes the courage and the actions of those who spoke up in May of 2021. Now, Swartfeger countered back and said the district that really basically required him to sign a document, a paper, describing the events in a way that, quite frankly, he didn't agree with, which was something he refused to do. And Swartfeger said, I didn't do and have never done anything malicious, intentional, or morally wrong, and this administration knows this to be true. Now, just like the DiCarlo situation in Eastchester, dozens of parents, students, student athletes went to the podium at the school board meeting at John Jay this past week and asked the school board, to reconsider their decision not to rehire Swartfeger. Community members told the board they're going to continue to show up at these school board meetings until Swartfeger is reinstated. In fact, there was a petition that went around there. And more than 3,500 people signed a petition on Swartfeger's behalf. So this goes round and around. And again, officially, just like Eastchester, officially in John Jay, there's no official announcement or statement being put forth as to what happened here. Okay, and again, the key word that keeps coming up over and over and over again in these situations is transparency. The speakers at the John Jay School Board meeting this past Thursday, they want transparency. Just like the people down at Eastchester before the school board relented and rehired DiCarlo, they wanted transparency. And that's the key to this case. The same thing is over and over again. Why can't there be more transparency in these cases involving coaches? And I understand it's a complicated situation. So if there can't be total transparency, well, at least prepare or give some partial explanation to the parents in the community as to what happened, so they are not left out in the cold and are just totally bewildered. After all, for sports parents, they are very eager to know who the coaches are and who their kids are going to play for in that school district. And quite frankly, if a coach is let go or not renewed, that has a real impact on those kids, obviously, and the parents wonder what's going on. So in other words, there has to be some openness in these kind of delicate situations. And again, I understand you can't probably have total transparency, but you got to have some. So I want to talk about this morning because, as I said, over the years, this issue of transparency or lack thereof keeps popping up over and over and over again when popular coaches and their contracts are not renewed, and nobody knows why. There is no official statement because the school board says we're not allowed to comment on what happened here. All right, 877-337-6666. Of course, that's our number. When I return from the commercial break, let's talk about this because I know it's complicated, but you also want to be fair when it comes to all concern. If Coach DiCarlo had not been rehired, if Swartfeger is not rehired, what kind of message does that send about their careers? That they're, after years and decades of service to the school district, they're just basically shown the door for no reason? Oh, on the other hand, if they were really bad coaches and were doing or saying things that were totally outside the boundaries, then okay. But then that's the case, then why were they allowed to coach for so many years? All right, it's tricky stuff, but if it's your kid's coach, I know you want to know more. Okay, 877-337-6666. Back with your calls and comments right after this.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Has the time come for school boards to be a little more forthcoming, to provide a little more detail about the hiring and firing of high school coaches? I understand, of course, there's a real reluctance to be totally transparent. But you got to give, I would think, the parents in the community, the kids, some real reason or something, some clarity as to what's going on here. And again, this question has once again resurfaced with the news this past week that Eastchester High School in Westchester County had fired longtime head football coach and boys basketball coach Fred DiCarlo. And then in a total reversal, after there was tremendous outrage from the community, DiCarlo was then rehired. And up the road in Katona in Westchester, Bill Swartfeger, longtime wrestling coach, he was let go after decades of service to that school district. And again, there was tremendous outcry, tremendous outrage from the community, from the parents, the sports parents. But the school board, once again, says, no, we can't go into this because we're not allowed to comment on matters of personnel. And, you know, I understand this, but, you know, that you can't go into tremendous detail. But, again, there has to be some transparency. I just think there's a concern here. No real official reason was given in either case, and that's a problem. I just think we live in a time these days where transparency does provide at least some sense of perhaps explanation as to what is going on. It's all kind of murky. I mean, if I lived in East Chester or if I lived up in Katona and I had an athlete in the high school, middle school system, I'm pretty sure I'd like to know a little bit more about how the school board and the superintendent makes decisions on hiring and firing the coaches. One of the first questions I would ask is, if the coaches do screw up, make a mistake, do they then get a chance to either correct or change or mend their ways? And if that's true, why isn't that more in the public domain? I mean, look, I'm not talking about letting a coach go because the team it just is losing a lot. Well, that's a different kind of issue about winning and losing. But with a coach who's been with a school district for a number of years, like DiCarlo or Swartfeger, why not provide some more details what the problem is or what was the turning point with the school board's decision? Remember, our athletic coaches, let's be honest here, they have a tremendous impact, tremendous influence on our kids as our kids grow up. I mean, think about your own coaches when you were a kid and in school and how important and influential they were in your life. So, all right, let's get some calls about this. As I said, this is something that we revisited before in the past, and it just keeps coming up over and over again. Let's start this morning with David in Westchester County. David, good morning. You're on the fan.
Yeah, hey, Rick. I live down the street from this, and the school really and the board has absolutely no obligation to let parents do anything. And I have kids who play sports. What parents can do is exactly what happened in Eastchester, though, and they rallied around, supported the coach. There were signs all over. Mm-hmm. They protested it, and they got him rehired. But they can't. He's an employee of the school, and it's the same thing with teachers who mm-hmm. do whatever they do during the day. And if there's any investigations or issues into teachers, it's all confidential, and they don't tell parents anything. Just legally, they withhold all information, and like you're saying, transparency.
Yes, look, that's been the law for a long time. I understand that. But I just think it's just so difficult, as we saw in East Chester and also in Katona, that the parents in the community said, wait a minute, what's going on here? Tell us something. Let us know what's happening here, because otherwise we're going to rise up and make this very difficult to move ahead. Look at all the thousands of people who supported this coach. So I understand, but there has to be, I think, and the lawyers can figure out some sort of compromise here to at least let the community know what something happened that caused this coach not to have his contract renewed. Isn't that fair, David?
I think it's fair, but I think it's also just kind of the world that we live in, that the coach is then able as well, like his booster groups, he's able to kind of get his story out to parents who can then filter it out into the community, as happened here.
Yep.
And it's just like with any other position, really, that if you were to be fired from a company, the company is not going to give the reason why you were fired. Like if WFAN turned around tomorrow and fired you, mm-hmm. you're not going to let people know why, but you can get your version of the story out, and as they did here, it gets out into social media, took a life of its own on, and you're able to defend yourself. And that's just kind of the world that we live in now, unfortunately.
How about if can the school board, I mean, again, I realize they can't do it right now under the current restrictions, but it would seem to me they could say, well, there was an issue or a problem we've talked about with the coach. He was given multiple chances to correct his ways or to improve himself or herself, and it turned out after several months he could not turn that corner, so we decided to part ways. At least that would give some indication to the community that the school board, the superintendent, there was aware of an issue, and that they sat down with the coach over so many months, but the coach couldn't comply. But just to say, boom, he's gone or she's gone, that's a harsh pill to swallow for a town, for a community.
But I think it's even right, and I think it's also the kids. You know, you have people who are playing who are juniors and seniors who
right.
this is really incredibly important to them in terms of the colleges that they're applying to. And if you've been in someone's program and, you know, looking forward, they have kids who have played for him who came back to support this specific, you know, case of Mr. DiCarlo.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that that rug is pulled out from underneath you and you've worked so hard to get onto the team,
yeah.
that's really who is directly impacted here, and it's unfair to.
David, there's no question. It's because ultimately the victims are the kids. So if the school board, again, we don't know. This is all speculation. We have no idea. But if there's some problem that dated back to, I don't know, last year or whatever, maybe they had gone to the coach and said, you got to change your ways. You got to do this. You got to do that. Unless you do that, we're not going to renew you. Okay, we don't know this. But they all of a sudden decide at the right at the start of the basketball season, say, well, you know, we're not going to renew his contract. So, I mean, that sends shockwaves, as you just said, throughout the community, especially for those kids on the basketball team who are expecting to play for Coach DiCarlo this winter. And it's, you know, so the timing is kind of odd as well. The whole thing is so murky and so difficult to sort of, you know, wade through this. And then when you see what kind of, you know, reaction this has in a community like Eastchester, I mean, 4,000 parents say, no, we want him back. I mean, that speaks volumes. And I think that's one reason why they decided that, well, we got to figure this out, maybe find a way to do a 180 and rehire this guy. It's interesting, isn't it, David?
It is. But then if you extend that as well, right, that if the board made this snap decision, they fired him, rehired him, that there should be transparency in terms of to the board, that if that's kind of how they're able to act, that they're acting in terms of educational decisions that are impacting the kids. And there should be some change onto the board so that there is someone held accountable, that this type of decision and process should not be allowed to happen in the future.
Yeah, I mean, for example, if the board had come to a vote and decided over the last, you know, based upon whatever Coach DiCarlo's behavior had been, it was serious enough to decide, okay, we're not going to renew him. Okay, so how come you did a 180 and decided, oh, well, now it turns out we're just going to change things and go bring back? I mean, who knows what happened? So that's also kind of bewildering as well, because we don't know what happened. And again, I understand there is sensitivity here, and has to be something that you would think the school board would work out with the coach as to what we can tell the community, but that doesn't seem to be what's happening here. David, thank you for the call. Thank you for the call.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It very much.
Yeah, have a great Sunday.
You too. Let's move on. Let's go to Ed Ward over in Jersey. Ed, good morning. What do you make of a situation like this?
Good morning, Rick. How you doing?
Good, Ed.
Good. Well, what do I think about the situation? I always say this. There's someone on the board who always has a vendetta against the coach, whether it be maybe a son's playing time was bad or whatever the situation. I really feel that. And this happened to me as a coach. When I took over a program in Bergen County for basketball, it wasn't a strong program, but I was doing things to rejuvenate the program, including getting fan interest and all that stuff. And the principal wanted to dismiss me. He gave me no reason. So fortunately, one of my former players' father was on the board. There was another person on my board that was on the Ally.
Yep.
And the determining factor was the evaluation that the AD did on me. It was a 50-question evaluation with 5 being the best scores.
Mm-hmm.
49 out of the 50 questions, I got a 5, which is the best score.
Right.
With 1-4. So that kind of changed the vote with everything. But like I say, today it's like someone's got a vendetta out for you if you're coaching high school. And if they want to get you, they're going to do whatever they can to get you. Luckily, the situation that happened at Eastchester is what happened to me when I almost got dismissed as a high school basketball coach, and my basketball team in the community rallied on my behalf.
Ed, I tell you, it's again, you've gone through this yourself as a coach and you know, a potential victim. And the rumors that keep sort of popping up is that, well, maybe somebody on the school board has, as you said, a personal vendetta against the coach, or maybe they felt that their kid didn't get enough playing time from that coach, and whatever the reason may be. But because those situations, because nobody is forthcoming or letting in any sunshine as to what happened in the decision process, you know, these rumors begin to crop up, and you begin to wonder about the objectivity of the school board when it comes to making decisions about coaches and who should be brought back and who should be let go. It's just very, very murky, very, very confusing. And obviously, as you see with DiCarlo or Swartfeger, we don't know what's going on. Hey, Ed, thank you as always for the call. Let me go to Billy in Mamaroneck. Billy, good morning. You're next up on the Fan. Billy, tell me your story about as a coach.
Good morning, Mr. Wolf, and thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember me, but I was in with a couple of players from Scarsdale prior to me getting removed as the basketball coach.
At Scarsdale High?
Yes.
Yes. Fill us in about what happened there.
My situation was even more unique than the others. Mine was I was dismissed with three games remaining in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you had said earlier, that it makes you feel like all these kids that you coached, all the kids that you taught, would see this and be so alarmed as if I had done something heinous. So, these situations are they're life-altering.
Well,
and then to try to get another job, because the newspaper, the local newspaper of Scarsdale carried it, and this is, you know, the frailty of the boards. They don't want to take anybody on that has any blemishes.
So what was the reason given when you let you?
It's been really hard to get another, you know, strong job.
Bill, what was the reason Scarsdale, the AD or the school board decided to let you go with just a few games left in the season? Was there a reason given to you?
We had taken the kids down to Florida 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Miami the third year.
Mm-hmm.
And after a game, I had consumed an alcoholic beverage.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, some way, it got back to the athletic director and then got back to the powers to be. And it was changed. Everything was changed, the story that I drove, which I didn't. So all of these things without being able to defend yourself makes it all kind of get scrambled, and then you wind up losing your job over something like that. So that was the biggest piece of all. But it was really about playing time, like it always is.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow it gets misconstrued by whomever, powers to be.
So
it was a very tough situation. Mine, it was three games left.
As I recall, again, this is a few years ago, but it seems like, as you said, the stories that were percolating in the media was that, oh, yeah, the coach was observed down in Florida, and he was drinking and driving cars with kids in it and so on and so forth. But you're suggesting that, no, that was not the case. And quite frankly, you had one beer and you were not drinking or driving, and that the real reason was because there was a problem with playing time or some other reason that the school board didn't want to elaborate upon. Is that correct?
That's exactly what took place.
Did you have any recourse to protest that or go to the board or go to the AD? They just said, no, it's a done deal. Goodbye. Thanks. Get out.
Zero recourse. And this happened to 10 other coaches in Scarsdale, all of which, even some were school district employees who remained in the district as teachers. So there was no recourse. You know, I had a big meeting with all the parents that came in support.
Yep.
And it amounted to nothing. And it really is, like you had said earlier, your caller had said from New Jersey, it's a lot about the board and the superintendent. They have this relationship that's really unbreakable, and they unite together as one front.
Sure.
And it's almost impossible to break that front. And that's why it was so amazing that Eastchester was able to do it. That assistant coach, that football assistant coach, and the people over at Eastchester, I give them so much credit. And Coach DiCarlo was really lucky to have people that were able to stand up. And I think because the superintendent was new,
correct,
made for that situation to be a little bit more vulnerable for him to get his job back.
Yeah, Billy, I think that's a pretty good assessment. And thank you for chiming in this morning with your own story, because obviously, this is exactly on point as to why we'd like to have a little more transparency as to how school boards and the superintendents make their decisions. Billy, thank you so much. You know, and that's what we're talking about here. And Billy points out, now, you know, if you don't know the geography of Westchester County, Scarsdale High School, that school district is right next to Eastchester. And to Billy's point, yeah, I mean, Eastchester parents rallied and said, no, we don't want to fire this coach. We want to keep him here. We like Coach DiCarlo. And we don't know why he's being let go. But whatever the reason may be, maybe we should give him a second chance, get him some help, get him some corrective behavior training. Whatever it might be, we don't know because there's no discussion of this, but let's bring him back. And you know, if you will, if you want to say it this way, to the credit of the superintendent, who was relatively new in that town, and the school board, they decided to bring DeCarlo back. We'll be interested to see what happens with Bill Swartfeger up in Contona as well, John Jay, Cross River. But this is curious stuff. And again, you know, reputations are at stake here. As we heard from Billy, I mean, he still feels he didn't get a fair shake. He did, and nobody knows exactly what happened down in Florida. He seems to think that he was victimized because somebody on the school board felt that perhaps his kid wasn't getting enough playing time at the high school. But I don't know. And as Billy said, he never really had a chance to make his case. And there were parents there in Scarsdale who apparently supported him as well. This is what we're talking about. 877-337-6666. I'm not asking for total transparency, but it should be nice to have a little transparency as to what's going on. All right, I'm going to take a time out. When I return, we'll continue with our calls. Stay with me. I am still posting on Twitter, although no one seems to know what the future of Twitter may be. But for right now, you can still follow me at Ask Coach Wolf. You can always get an idea of what topics I plan to cover on upcoming shows. And an important celebratory note regarding Neil Judge, the longtime and cherished athletic director at Mercy College. Neil hired me to serve as the head baseball coach back in the late 1970s when I was in my 20s. And it's just been a pure joy for me to have known this wonderful man over the years. And now Mercy College is going to officially celebrate Neil and his legacy. On Friday, December 2nd at 3 p.m. on the Dobbs Ferry campus, the absolutely beautiful Student Athlete Center will be named in honor of Neil Judge. Now again, Neil is universally loved, respected by all for his 34 years at the helm of Mercy College Sports. He retired back in 2005. But on Friday, December 2nd at 3 p.m., the Neil Judge Student Athlete Center, I gotta tell you, that sounds so good to say that. The Neil Judge Student Athlete Center will be christened. So be sure to mark that day in your calendar, and if you can, get over to Mercy College in Dobbs Ferry for the festivities. It is going to be a memorable day, and richly deserved. Okay, just a quick postscript on last Sunday's show regarding hockey player Mitchell Miller. I read this past week where the Boston Bruins have hired an independent law firm to investigate whether the Bruins' actions and then subsequent decision to walk away from the contract that they offered to Miller, whether that whole thing was handled appropriately. I think that's a noble gesture by the Bruins, but I do wonder if the law firm, if they conclude that the Bruins acted inappropriately with Miller in terms of cutting him based upon his conviction at age 14, well, that'll be interesting. I even wonder whether the Bruins will make the law firm's conclusions public. Moving on. Hats off to Caitlin Tui of North Rockland High School and of NC State, who captured the NCAA Division I Women's Cross Country Championship yesterday. Caitlin's had a terrific season at NC State, and quite frankly, this big win, being the NCAA D1 champion, that just certifies that, as we all know, that she's a rising star in long-distance running. And finally, on a very, very sober note, those kids, those football players at the University of Virginia who were shot and killed last week, those three UVA football players who died, each one of them with those magical and unforgettable smiles. I mean, like you, I just sit and shake my head in total disbelief and in horror. How many of our kids are going to have to be shot and killed before we finally wake up and put an end to this nightmare of kids shooting other kids? Okay, moving forward, we're talking about the whole transparency issue when it comes to high school coaches and their contracts, you know, being renewed or not being renewed. It's complicated because obviously the school boards, the superintendents, they all say, no, we can't. We have legal restrictions. We're not allowed to give any reason why to the public as to why a coach is let go. All we're asking for, as we've seen with these two cases with Coach Bill Swartfeger and Coach Fred DeCarlo, and this is two of obviously dozens and dozens of these situations that happen every year, why can't parents sports parents in particular in that community have an idea, give some transparency, some reason, make some statement as to what's going on here. Because as we all agree, if you're a sports parent and you live in a school district, and particularly with those coaches who have been there for a number of years and have had success, you'd like to know why suddenly out of the blue the school board sort of swoops in and decides, no, we're not going to renew that coach. Something happened. Well, what happened? Tell us about it. Well, we can't tell you. Well, can you give us some idea of what's going on and whether or not the coach has had a chance to either correct his or her ways or to change or go through some sort of teaching recertification, whatever. But, you know, our kids are we like this coach. And as we saw that happen in Eastchester, where more than 4,000 parents decided, no, we're not going to let Fred DiCarlo go. We want him back. And the school board did a reversal and said, okay, we'll rehire him. Simple as that. I mean, it's just, but again, we don't know the reasons why, and it just seems to me, after all these cases we've seen over the years, something has to change. It just seems to be common sense. 877-337-6666. Let's go to Jack Smithlin over in Jersey. Jack, good morning. Jack, how are you feeling these days?
I'm back on the mend. You know, that virus hit me real hard, and I was down and out for over a week, and that's why I didn't call in last week. And the week before that, I was in Denver, and I wasn't getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So, but you know what? My wife was surprised, and my two sons were surprised. They said, "You're a diehard, yeah." But I was so beat back there. We went up to Pikes Peak. I lost it up there. I mean, 50% of your oxygen, I completely lost it up there. So, but I listened to both shows, and they were both excellent as usual. Last night I had my 50th high school reunion, 2 years delayed because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of my buddies are all listening today, my high school buddies, because they're in from Texas and Florida and North Carolina and even California. So, you know, I'm excited that you know, you got me on here. So,
good.
Listen, first of all, the one gentleman who said the boards do not have to tell you, he's 150% correct on that. But like you said, they should give some type of reason, inappropriate behavior, you know, inappropriate language. They don't have to get into the details. They really don't. And it is, you know, you should be fair to the parents. But I'm so surprised. If you have 1,000 coaches listening to you right now, Rick, the show, 900 had a similar situation. A lot of it was kept quiet. Why? Because the coaches wanted it to be kept quiet. They didn't want something blurred out there that might affect them by going and getting another job or something like that. But I'm going to do a reverse here, all right, real quick. In my opinion, a lot of the boards, when they come to a decision like that, it's not a spur-of-the-moment decision. No, let's get rid of him. They have to sit, evaluate, take information in. And that's the proper way to do it. And the good boards do it exactly that way.
Uh-huh.
But if you think about it, let's reverse it. Let's say parents are going after a coach because of his inappropriate behavior or whatever, or playing time. Or, you know, I mean, I don't think that should ever be a reason, but it is so often the number one reason. But a coach is, you know, maybe physical with his kids or inappropriate language or, you know, puts them down or reprimands them in front of people. And now these parents, they kind of like pull themselves together. They get a posse and they go after the coach. Administration immediately fires him. Why? Because they don't want to put up with irate parents. They don't want lawsuits. They don't want to deal with 4,000 parents. On the other hand, let's put it on the other side. In this case, 4,000 parents came to this guy's calling. They came to his aid. Do you think that board wants to put up with 4,000 irate parents? So what do? They hire him back. They'd rather deal with his inappropriateness or his missed language or whatever his case is than put up with 4,000 parents. In my opinion, and I've been through this a few times, I told you a story the other day when we were talking. I've been through this. Ed's been through this. Every coach has been through this at least once.
Yep.
And you know what? They don't have to tell anybody. Why? They don't. But the point is, like you said, give us at least a reason. Because you know what? If half of those parents knew that the reason was this or that, they might back away and not support him. because the boards, their number one goal are their students and their student athletes. The safety and care and guidance of their student athletes. So what they do is sometimes the right thing, but they never react the right way with it. And you know what? Once again, I'm telling you, it's a crazy cycle, Rick. It's a crazy cycle.
Well, you
may think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rick.
I was going to say, Jack, I think you bring an interesting slant on this, and that is, you know, the school board, you know, there are most, you know, I'm sure every district is different, but in most school communities, the school board is usually made up of volunteers, and, you know, they're trying to do what they think is the right thing to do for the entire community. So they're trying to, maybe a case is brought to them by, just say, an angered sports parent, and that complaint bubbles up, you know, doesn't, maybe it goes through the AD or just goes to somebody on the school board, and they bring it to the attention of their colleagues on the school board and say, well, maybe we should, you know, not renew this coach's contract. But then, because school boards are made up of, as I said, mostly volunteers, that if a situation occurs that you just mentioned where, wait a minute, 4,000 people said, no, we don't want this coach to be let go. He's terrific with our kids. Now the school board says, well, maybe we move too quickly on this. So, you know, it's a sort of, I hate to use the word politics, but certainly, you know, because there's no transparency, there's no coming forth as to why they decided to vote this way or made a decision, suddenly the school board is back and forth in this volley of like, well, what do we do here? And maybe we move too quickly, and maybe there's a way out of this. But it's just weird. And again, I'm sure, as you just said, Jack, that 90% of all coaches, public high school coaches, have probably had to endure this kind of situation. And, you know, many of them get let go, and some somehow resurface and keep going. It's just weird.
You know what? If you think about it, Rick, a lot of the boards, and I don't like using this term, but I will, they don't have backbones. If they feel that this guy should be fired, or that person, or that woman, or that coach should be fired because of what they did, they better actually sit down and really understand that is the reason that they're firing, not something on the slide like, you know, like Ed said. He's absolutely right. Playing time and things like that happen. But the point is that they have to have the backbone to back up what their decisions were. But how many boards switch real quick? In these two cases, well, in this one case, they switched real quick because they didn't want to deal with those 4,000 parents.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you a real quick story. I was at one of the schools in North Jersey coaching softball, doing really well. And it came springtime, and a bunch of my players, three of my players in particular, one, the board president's daughter, decided to go to France with the France Club. All right? Now, she wasn't even in the France Club. All right? But the point is, or the French Club, I'm sorry. The point is, her dad opened it up for everybody to the school. What a great opportunity. Well, my particular policy was, if you miss three games, you sit three games.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to earn your position back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this board president didn't like that. All right? And he went to the board and wanted me fired. Well, luckily, Tom Valenzuela, who was my athletic director, supported me 150%. Okay? And because of his support, those parents supported me. And they, especially, what about the three girls who took over those positions and now had to give them back because this board president said his daughter and the other two girls didn't, you know, didn't deserve to lose their positions? Okay? They didn't lose them. They just had to earn them back. That's all.
Yeah.
You know what? And the point is that he came after me guns blasting. And you know what? He lost. And the very next year, I believe he was removed from the board, but I hope it wasn't because of me. But the point is that they don't think sometimes. And, you know, this is my daughter. And, but the point is that boards have to have backbones. They have to have backbones and support what they think.
I agree with you. And obviously you had, thank goodness you had an AD who had your back and did have backbone to say, no, we're not going to support this. This is not fair to us, the kids in the team. And Well, I mean, that's what we're talking about here. A little common sense, a little transparency. Jack, let me let you go. Thank you. I'm glad you're feeling better. Appreciate the call as always. Let's go to Eastchester itself, and Mike is standing by. Mike, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good, Mike. What's up?
Well, it's interesting. I think you were just talking about Eastchester.
Of course.
Yeah, and here's what I won't go into it, 'cause I'm not from here. But I will say, on the ground, the same people who were supporting Cicere, who were huge fans of Cicere, who played for him, were the same people who are supporting DiCarlo.
Okay.
And that tells me everything I need to know about the character of DiCarlo, because I'm sure you know, Cicere's a legend.
Yes, of course.
And so the same exact people were supporting DiCarlo. So I don't know what happened. I don't know all the details. That's not why I called, but I thought that was important based on what your last call.
Well, that's an interesting perspective as well, Mike. Yeah, I had the pleasure of knowing Dom Cicere for many years.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't remember, Dom Cicere passed away a few years ago, but he was regarded everywhere as one of the most brilliant baseball coaches, had great success at Eastchester. His strength in particular was as a pitching coach, but also was the AD. I mean, this is a man who was revered, and stood for all the right things as a coach and as a human being. So to your point, Mike, if you're telling me, and again, that's an interesting perspective, that many of the parents who were supporting Dom Cicere also, if the same parents also support Fred DiCarlo, well, that's pretty interesting point of view as well. I mean, that speaks volumes, put it that way.
Yeah, listen, I'm not even from here. I'm from Boston. I moved here, and the way people talked about Cicere, I ended up donating to his, the plaque that they built for him, just because I'm a coach. I have such respect for coaches, and boy, the stories about him. I wish I played for him. Wish my kids had. But yeah, the same people, same exact people who sold me on Cicere, sold me on DiCarlo.
Yeah, I can't say enough good things about Dom Cicere. And he died too young. And as I said, he was just. He was just an extraordinary human being.
So I called because you had a show months and months ago with a young high school kid who started a sports psychology program or platform. And I have a baseball son. He's 17. He's got great talent, but he's having massive performance issues at the plate.
Mike, do me a favor. Drop me an email. Unfortunately, we're up against the clock here. Drop me an email, my website, and I'll be glad to answer any question you have about that website and your son as well. Okay. Hey, friends, this has been a fascinating show this morning. A lot of good calls, a lot of good feedback. Again, this is an issue that every school board has to deal with, every superintendent has to deal with, and, of course, the coaches, they live with this on an ongoing basis. A little transparency would help a lot, no question about it. Okay, my thanks to the Zoom man, Ed R. Zoom man, this morning. NFL preview is up next. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I'll see you next Sunday right here on the Sports Edge.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.